almost all the issues around homosexuality, you can either analyze as it's something about freedom or it's something about equality. To depenalize homosexual activity has to do with the most intimate freedom to express love that you feel.
Baby, 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 I think I keep you.
He said, I feel once again like I gave my heart to sing.
Y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come,
y'all come.
Oh, y'all come see us now and then.
I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 21st, 2001. Germany's new registered partnerships for gay and lesbian couples will go into effect August 1st, as the Federal Constitutional Court this week rejected a move to block them by the states of Bavaria and Saxony. In a 5-3 ruling, the justices refused to issue an emergency order against the new law, but they won't decide until later this year whether partnerships violate the special status of marriage under Germany's constitution, as those states have contended. The so-called life partnerships confer a number of spousal benefits in areas including immigration, inheritance, health insurance, medical decision-making, alimony, and the right to use a shared surname, but they don't qualify couples to adopt children or receive some tax advantages. Despite the court ruling, Bavaria, Saxony, and Thuringia have indicated they may not register partnerships as the law requires, and gay and lesbian activists have promised legal action to force them to do so if necessary. Registry offices have already reportedly been deluged with requests for applications for life partnerships, including one from openly gay Member of Parliament Volker Beck.
But in Canada, British Columbia's new provincial government has dropped its predecessor's landmark lawsuit seeking marriage rights for gay and lesbian couples. That lawsuit, claiming that Canada's heterosexual definition of marriage is unconstitutional, had been filed last year by the New Democratic Party's Attorney General, Andrew Petter. But BC's Liberal Party swamped the NDP in May elections, and this week, new Attorney General Jeff Plante said there's no reason for the province to be involved in the case. A newly released national poll found that more than 65% of Canadians support gay and lesbian marriage rights. Canada's gay and lesbian couples already enjoy most of the legal benefits and obligations of marriage.
Britain's Court of Appeal this week refused legal recognition to a male-to-female transsexual's marriage of 20 years. Transwoman Elizabeth Bellinger had married her husband Michael before a clerk who did not question that they were a heterosexual couple. But under British law, the marriage is not legal because those who undergo sex reassignment surgery are not issued new birth certificates. Bellinger's attorney argued that the law's 30-year-old definitions of gender are outdated and that Elizabeth Bellinger has in fact always been female. But like the trial court before them, two of the three appellate justices held that any change in the law must come from the Parliament. The court did express sympathy for Bellinger and other transsexuals and concern that British law appears to conflict with findings of European courts. The Bellingers are expected to appeal to the House of Lords.
The race for leadership of Britain's Conservative Party has driven Michael Portillo off the party's front bench. Before mounting his political comeback from defeat in the Labour landslide of 1997, Portillo told the London Times in 1999 that he'd had gay affairs before his marriage. This year, Portillo had called for the party to moderate its stance on social issues and become more tolerant of gays and lesbians. This week, he was knocked out of the Tories' leadership race by Kenneth Clark and Ian Duncan Smith, both right-wing opponents of gay and lesbian civil rights. Portillo responded by saying, "I don't intend ever to be on the front bench again, and for the avoidance of doubt, I'm not interested in the leadership. I think the time has come for me to seek other things to do. Those other things include work in business, the arts, and media. At least four other moderate conservatives have followed Portillo in leaving the party's front line, as have at least a couple of right-wingers.
Republican U.S. President George Bush's plan to fund religious groups to provide social services passed the House of Representatives this week, with its clause to exempt those groups from state and local employment anti-discrimination laws intact. The exemption is intended to allow religious groups objecting to homosexuality to refuse to hire gays and lesbians with their proposed government funds. A Democratic amendment to remove that exemption was defeated 234-195 before the so-called Community Solutions Bill itself was passed 223-198 in a vote largely along party lines. While Republicans are urging a quick vote in the Senate, the new Democratic majority there is in no hurry. Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle has so far refused to set a date, objecting specifically to the civil rights exemption, saying, "I can't imagine that we could pass any bill that would tolerate slipping back into a level of tolerance that would be unacceptable in today's society."
Rhode Island last week became the second U.S. state to explicitly protect transgendered people under its civil rights laws. Republican Governor Lincoln Allman allowed the bill to become law without his signature, having said he would not veto it lest he be viewed as an enemy of civil rights. The new law adds gender identity or expression to categories protected from discrimination in employment, housing, credit, and public accommodations. A similar clause had been dropped from the bill that added sexual orientation to the Rhode Island civil rights law in 1995. Minnesota enacted the first U.S. state transgender rights bill in 1993.
But Maryland's new state law against discrimination based on sexual orientation will be challenged at the polls in November 2002. This week, state officials certified that the group Take Back Maryland had collected enough valid signatures to place a repeal initiative on the next statewide ballot. Democratic Governor Paris Glendening, whose personal efforts helped push through the civil rights bill after a decade of lobbying, believes that the repeal measure will fail. Maryland has been only the 12th state to ban sexual orientation discrimination.
In West Virginia, one suspect has pleaded guilty and been sentenced in a high-profile murder many believe to have been bias-motivated. The victim in the very brutal bashing a year ago was J.R. Warren, a 26-year-old African-American gay man with mental and physical disabilities. His murder triggered a series of demonstrations and was mentioned in unsuccessful lobbying for a federal hate crimes law, including homophobic attacks. David Parker pleaded guilty to first-degree murder and was sentenced to life imprisonment with the possibility of parole after 15 years. A second suspect, Jared Wilson, is scheduled for trial in August. Parker, who was 17 when he attacked Warren, claimed that the two had some 30 sexual encounters since he was 12 years old, and that he was enraged at learning that Warren had told others of their relationship.
A somewhat similar story is part of the reported confession of a suspect in the brutal stabbing death of a notable gay couple in Fiji. Victim John Scott was head of Fiji's Red Cross and became a national hero as the one man allowed to bring supplies to hostages during a political coup attempt last year. He and his partner of 22 years, Greg Scrivener, were murdered in early July. Suspect Apete Kaisau this week was found psychologically competent to stand trial. The notably homophobic Fiji police said Kaisau told them he was avenging his sexual exploitation by the couple. The victims' families vehemently deny Kaisau's allegations that they were involved in sexual exploitation, pedophilia, and drugs.
Trial began this week in Egypt for 52 men arrested in a May police raid on a Nile party boat catering to gays. Although homosexual acts per se are not illegal in Egypt, most of the men face morals charges that could result in up to 5 years imprisonment at hard labor, and there is no possibility of appeal from the state security court where they're being tried. Police barred the men's families from the courtroom, resulting in some scuffles. The families believe the men have been tortured while in custody, where they've been held since their arrest May 11th. All the men entered not guilty pleas. The case was adjourned until mid-August to give the defense more time to prepare.
In Hungary, a Budapest district mayor has failed to bar gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and feminist groups from participating in Pepsi Island, Europe's biggest music festival. Mayor István Tarlós had inserted a clause in the festival's contract with the city to prohibit any homosexual education programs, ostensibly for the protection of young visitors. But protests from Hungarian and international gay and lesbian activists forced Tarlós to back down from a position violating the national constitution, although he did so regretfully. A spokesperson for the Hungarian group Habeas Corpus said, "It really feels like the Hungarian movement of sexual minorities has won its first victory." He added that the group would call for Tarlós's resignation and might take legal action against him. Although festival organizers supported the gay protest, none of its major sponsors took a position.
And finally, the world's largest arts festival may have taken gay chic advertising to a new height. The Edinburgh Festival Fringe commissioned a 19-second film of two women kissing passionately in a park and distributed it by email in the hope that recipients would forward it widely. The caption plugged the festival's already very successful promotion deal for its performances, saying, "Two for the price of one on all your favorite thespians."
And that's News Wrap for the week ending July 21st, 2001, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
There's also a gay man's midlife crisis on CD, all coming up later in the program. Earlier this year, Poland became the first country to open its existing marriage law to include gays and lesbians, so there are no special provisions or restrictions to separate them from heterosexually married couples. Dutch lawyer and gay rights lobbyist Kees Waldijk played a major role in getting same-gender marriages legalized. He tells Chris Chambers of Radio Netherlands how his country came to be the world's leader in gay equality, especially regarding the recognition of same-gender couples.
The Netherlands is a very open society in that it has had sort of trade relations dominating the national culture for a long time with any country which was happy to trade with us. And also it's a small country, and that sort of compares to Scandinavia and states like Vermont or Hawaii. The small American states are quicker in this respect than the bigger ones. And you could probably say that a small country has more of a national debate about things, and they argue things and then more easily get to new insights than larger countries. So that may have played a role. Also, surveys suggest that the Netherlands is the most secular society in the world, that the majority of people claim not to believe in God or belong to a church. So the religious element was absent, or at least very weak in the whole debate about recognizing same-sex couples. And that's combined very well with the legal system where we have only a secular marriage. In churches, you cannot marry in this country. You can go to church after your secular wedding to have it blessed, but churches cannot perform a marriage ceremony. So it was a very secular debate. And also it could build on a long history of gradually recognizing the rights of gay people. In the 60s, most countries in Europe still had a complete ban on homosexual activity, or at least different age levels. The Netherlands was the first to equalize the ages of consent. They did that in 1971. The homosexual age of consent went down to 16, which it was for heterosexuals, and which still is the age. And gradually, over the 70s and 80s, all kinds of fields of law where homosexual individuals and homosexual couples tended to be discriminated were dealt with by Parliament and by administrative measures, etc.
Okay, well, let's look at yourself, Kees. You're an open gay man.
I am.
And what age were you when you, as it's called, came out?
Well, I'm pretty sure I was almost 13 when I came out to myself, as in realizing that the word homosexual applied to what I felt and what I was. And then a year or so later, I told my parents, which I later came to realize was a pretty young age.
Well, I was going to say, 14 is very young to tell your parents and to come out. What was their reaction?
Well, my mother's reaction was, well, you're very young and there's no need to worry about it yet. But they both made very explicit that they would not be against it, morally or religiously or whatever. So that was comforting to hear. And I was very, well, even before I told them, I was pretty confident that there would not be a negative reaction, since they were very progressive, liberal, tolerant people, well educated. They were both child psychologists. Throughout the 60s in the Netherlands, both in religion, so there were famous priests who would do radio commentaries and say positive things about homosexuality. Similarly, in medical and academic circles, there were people who either were gay themselves or very tolerant towards it, who played an important role in sort of spreading the word that homosexuality was nothing special and something good through the sort of the more liberal media that reached my parents' household. I was able to, at a very young age, to have part of that and feel more confident about it.
This was a period when gay rights, gay issues were becoming much more politicised. The Stonewall riots in New York occurred in 1969, so it wasn't too long after that. So did you feel during the 70s and as you were growing to adulthood that you felt that the whole issue was becoming politicised and you were going along with it?
I don't remember it as something political in my teens. And even when I went to university and joined a gay youth group there, I became slightly more aware of political things around it. But that was mostly things in America. There was Anita Bryant, who was setting up a campaign to make it illegal to employ teachers who were gay. And that caused an outcry in the Netherlands, but that was something foreign. Also, I then started to travel to Britain a lot on holiday, and I liked the country. And there, I picked up much more of awareness that it was a political issue and especially a legal issue, that there were laws against it. In theory, I could have been prosecuted for doing things there which were perfectly legal here. And what I also liked about Britain, well, when I was 17, 18, had my first holidays in Britain, I discovered Gay News, the legendary gay periodical. There was so much in it, not just about criminal things, but all about cultural things. It made homosexuality more interesting for me. So in the Netherlands, it was almost slightly boring. It was just something you were.
Well, Kees, we're sitting in your living room here in Amsterdam, and I see there's one wall there filled completely with books. There are many on the subject of homosexuality. You have one by the American academic John Boswell called The Marriage of Likeness. Now, he writes about same-sex unions, and he says that marriages were actually relatively commonplace 500 years ago or so.
Well, he certainly comes up with lots of examples of same-sex partnership ceremonies being performed throughout the Middle Ages in various corners of Europe, in Christian churches. He suggests that these are examples of more general trends. Other people suggest that it may not have been so general then. But at least what it shows is that there has been evidence of same-sex couples throughout history, and also in all world literature you find examples of two men, or sometimes even two women, having a close relationship and being somewhat recognized in a ceremony or as very close friends being buried together. And there's in the Bible, there's David and Jonathan, there is Achilles and Patroclus in Homer. And then Boswell finds less known historical couples in the first 1500 years after Christ. So it is not something new. Almost all the issues around homosexuality, you can either analyze as it's something about freedom or it is something about equality. To depenalize homosexual activity has to do with the most intimate freedom to express love that you feel. The trend in almost all European countries is the same direction. Gradually, almost never in one go, but gradually homosexual rights are being recognized. Over the last 30 or 40 years, there is hardly any country where the legislation relating to homosexuality has gone backwards. It always either is a standstill or it moves forward.
Could you foresee a time when things could deteriorate and could go backwards, or do you foresee the time when homosexuality just isn't an issue?
Well, for some reason it will always remain an issue, because there will be people who have been growing up in a society where most people are heterosexual, and then they discover that they have a different preference. For them, it will be an issue. For parents, it will be a small or a big shock to realize that kids are. It will be less of an issue, but it will still be an issue. Whether or not the thing will go backwards, I don't know. It is, of course, very possible that certain social attitudes and thereby also legal norms will change. The issue of homosexuality is somewhat different from other issues because the coming out mechanism works against it. The more legal and social recognition of homosexuality there is, the easier it is for people to come out. And if you come out as homosexual to other people, they also, although not homosexual themselves, will be less inclined to do negative things. And the proportion of people now coming out as gay or lesbian is increasing all the time. And I suppose Netherlands is also leading the way in that respect. I don't have figures on that, but it seems that almost everyone now starts to come out if you are gay or lesbian. Some a bit earlier, some a bit later in life, but they do. If that happens, it becomes very difficult for others to clamp down on it again. But you never know.
That was Dutch gay activist and lawyer Kees Waaldijk speaking with Radio Netherlands' Chris Chambers.
I'm Roman Kalinin from Moscow. You are listening to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. Оставайтесь на нашей волне.
Stay on our wavelength.
Get ready for some homespun harmonies, confessional compositions, and a pair of country kiwis as we open this month's audio file.
We emptied out our bank account and rented us a truck. We said goodbye to that old town and wished ourselves good luck. We sold our knickknacks on the street and loaded up the rest. We're on our way to Nashville 'cause we don't have time for second best. No, we don't have time for second best. 'Cause we're still poor and we're still happy. Just how smart, I don't know. But if poverty's a virtue, we're just as pure as driven snow.
Well, some folks would call our music country. Others would call it folk music. It's a little bit of both of those things, especially on this CD. Most of the stuff has kind of a country, kind of traditional, maybe 50s and 60s country feel.
I'd say it has a variety feel, though. It's American music. Plain and simple.
Period.
Stop. That's it.
The group Y'all brings homespun harmonies and humor with a gay touch to their new album called The Hey Y'all Soundtrack. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Y'all is comprised of James Dean Jaybird and Stephen Cheslick DeMeyer, and they confess that they don't really have a TV show, but if they did, this would be the soundtrack.
When you live in the country, everybody is your neighbor. On this one thing you can rely, that they'll all come see you, and they'll never ever leave you. Stay and y'all come see us by and by. See us when you can. Y'all come, y'all come, y'all come, y'all come. Oh, y'all come see us now and then.
Find out more about Y'all and the Hey Y'all soundtrack at www.luckygreendress.com.
Introspective poet Richard Eisen's CD, Let It Fall, is perfect musical company for a solitary day.
Boy wandered down wet streets past blue lighted windows through the darkness of ahead. And you're calling out to him, and he heard you crying, but he hardly heard a word.
It's really quiet night, stay at home, inward looking songs, kind of thoughtful songs. They really are confessional in a way. I kind of write about my own viewpoint, really looking back. You know, I'm not a kid anymore, so I suppose in a way a lot of this is about kind of a gay man's midlife crisis.
Although the CD features mostly original compositions, Eisen also gives us his unique interpretation of this Joni Mitchell favorite.
Willie is my child, he is my father. I would be his lover all my life. He says he loved to live with me, but for an ancient dream that cannot heal, He said, I feel once again like I gave my heart to sin.
Find out more about Richard Eisen on his website at www.clearsong.com.
From New Zealand, the Top Twins bring us a different kind of country with their latest album, Grass Highway.
It's just another highway, just another roadside cafe, it's just another airport, just another train stop away, it's just another
just recorded a new CD. It's the second CD that we've done. It's called Grass Highway. We call it Pacific Country because we come from down in the Pacific Isles down here in New Zealand. It's definitely got a country feel to it, but it's very different because it's from New Zealand. It's not like, you know, country and western. It's real different.
That was Linda Topp. She and her sister Joels have their own TV show in New Zealand that combines comedy, characters, and original music, often with openly lesbian lyrics.
I got a girl that says she was born in Nebraska. Sometimes she talks so southern you can't understand her. I know what she's thinking before she says it.
For more information about the Top Twins and Grass Highway, check out their website at www.toptwins.co.nz. That's TOPPTWINS.co.nz.
And that's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 429, Sunland, California 91041. Or online at info@audiophile.org. That's info@audiophile.org. Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, Christopher David Trentum, and J.D. Doyle. This is Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Cause wherever I lay my heart, baby, that's my downfall. Baby, 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 I think I love you. Would you party and dance and jump with me into the leap, yeah.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Graham Underhill, Chris Ambidge, Brian Nunes, Jason Lynn, Rex Wapner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Thanks also to Chris Chambers, Luke Lucas, and Radio Netherlands. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on multimedia, then on radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through designated contributions by Uncommon Cloud Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For an urgent message about This Way Out's critical financial situation, please visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening on WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, to NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, KVSC St. Cloud, Minnesota, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station.
Оставайтесь на нашей волне.
Now, y'all,